today is Father's Day, and we say Happy Father's Day to the fathers, and it's a blessing that they honor fathers, but fathers need to step up, God has given them responsibility, and responsibility tells them, especially dealing with the children, that they are not to provoke their children. Fathers have a great responsibility, and I hope that fathers will realize that they're going to have to answer to God if they fail to do what God wants them to do. God wants them to be a leader in the home. God wants them to make provision for the family. God wants them to be a Christian and then teach the children the ways of righteousness. It's so important that our children are taught early on. And I thank God for the parents who bring their children to church here. And so, fathers, you need to understand that God has given you an assignment, and you need to fulfill that assignment. God will help you if you look to Him. Got a lot of daddies, but not fathers. God wants us to have some fathers in the land and step up to the plate. You know, when you marry a person and start having children, you can't be running around with the boys. You got to take care of the home. You can't listen to those so-called friends who call you henpecked because you go home and take care of your family. Amen. I'm preaching hard. But this is what needs to take place. We need to have fathers in the home. When the father's in the home, the family feels secure. Amen. And that is, the father's not there, then they get nervous. So, fathers, I hope that if you haven't been doing what you need to do, you need to step up. Step up. God bless you. And even though your children are grown, fathers, they sometimes come to you for advice. And you need to give them the right advice. Can I get an amen? God bless you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. And if you have that, I'm reading verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'd like to read that verse again. Verse 18 of the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Today God has given me to preach on this subject. God, our Father. You know, some people in the world, their natural father, as they see it in their eyes, it was not a good father. He was an absentee father, and some people don't even know who their father is. But here today, I want to tell you of a father that is who will always be there. He's not absent. A father who makes provisions for you. A father who will take care of you. A father who is more than able to protect you. A father that when we are sleeping, he's awake because he never sleeps and he never slumbers. A father that will fight your battles. A father that will keep you. And I thank God. That Father I'm talking about is God, our Father. When God said he will be a father to us, he's letting us know that he's going to assume all responsibility of parental concerns and provide care of his family. All provisions, parental provisions. He's going to take care of us. And he is more than able. Our earthly father, sometimes there are things they can't do, but thank God, our heavenly Father, there's nothing impossible with him. So the scripture says that he will be he will be our father, and we will be his sons and daughters. We want to look at that sons and daughters, the sons especially. And the question is God your father? Now, the mere fact that we were born in the world, he's the father of all because he created us. But there is a special relationship you need to have with God. And even though he said all souls are his, he created us, he's the father because he created us. But there's a special relationship. And that relationship needs to come about because Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. And when they brought sin into the world, we didn't have a good relationship with God anymore. But God, who is loving, who is kind, God who's, it's not his will and desire that any should perish, a God that loves us and did something for us when we were definitely his enemies, sent his only son here to die for our sins. So the question today is that each one of us need to answer that, is God your father? Is God my father? Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to see what the Bible has to say to help you answer that question. John, the first chapter. God bless you. John chapter 1, verse 12. Listen to the word of God. But as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in order for God to be your father, you're going to have to receive Jesus, the one that he sent into this world to pay our sin debt so that we could be changed and we could be brought back into a right relationship with the Father. So it says that as many as receive him, as many as also believe on his name. You got to believe on Jesus. You got to believe that Jesus came into this world and died for our sins. We got to believe that. You know, we have many people with many different, talking about going to heaven many ways. There's only one way. Only one way, and that way is Jesus. Can I get an amen? So, if God is going to be your father, you got to receive Jesus, who God sent into this world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then verse 13 helps us to see whether or not God is your father. He says, after you receive Jesus and we become the sons of God because we believe on him and his redemptive work, verse 13 says, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Thank God we are born of God. And everyone who believes in Jesus, receive Jesus, and we become children of God because we are born of God. Thank God that He is a good and merciful God. Thank God that He's made provisions for us. So in order for you to call God your Father, you got to be born again. And you got to be born from above. Amen. Your earthly parents cannot bring you into the kingdom. You have to have a spiritual birth. And the scripture says that we are born of God, not man's will, but God. And we thank God that God loved us so much. So if you are born of God, that means that you are a child of God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You know, again, I think sometimes we need to reflect over what God is telling us in His Word. And we need to reflect about the life we lived before we became Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you need to think about the life that you're living now. And if you're not a Christian, the life that you're living is not pleasing to God. And we need to think about that. And we need to realize that we got to make a choice here. We got to decide, am I going to follow Jesus? You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. I haven't heard anybody say they want to go to that other place. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But in order to go to heaven, you got to be born again. You got to be born of God. You got to be born from above. And then when you are born of God, thank God, we become God's children. Only way, that's the only way. The scripture says there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby man shall be saved, and that name is Jesus. Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of God. Jesus is the only way that we can become children of God. And I'm glad that God had made a way, because if Jesus hadn't died for us, we would be eternally lost. If Jesus hadn't given His life, we would yet be following the ways of the world. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that He obeyed the Father. I thank God He came and He willingly gave His life so that we could be brought into the family of God. So I hope that you can say today that God is your Father, because you've been born of God. All right. So since God is your Father, then there's some things else that takes place in your life. And that is, once you become a child of God, born of God, you're led by the Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. And we want to look at verse 14. Romans 8, chapter 14. The 14th verse reads, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led, as many who follow the teachings, the many are those who obey God's word. Because when God makes us His child, He brings obedience into our lives. Because when you disobey God, it's a sin. So many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God's children obey Him. Jesus told us over in John, the 10th chapter, around 27 verse, He says, "My sheep hear My voice. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." Jesus is the shepherd. We are sheep. Sheep need to be led. Amen. And Jesus is our shepherd. He is our leader. And those of us who are born again, we follow the shepherd, because the shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd provides food. He provides water. He provides protection from the wild animals. And thank God we have a leader that we can follow. And Jesus says not only that, He gives us eternal life. It's not a wonderful blessing. Eternal life when we obey Jesus as children of God and we follow him. So his sheep hear his voice. Are you obeying God? Are you consistent in your obedience? Are you just a Sunday morning Christian? You can come to church and you can just talk about God and talk about, but how do you live the rest of the week? If you're married and got a mate, what is their testimony about you? Amen. What about your co-workers? Amen. Can they testify that you are different from these other people you're living, doing, and what God says? That ought to be our testimony. What about your neighbors? Amen. The people that once you leave the church and the people you come in contact with, they might not know what to call it, but they might say they are a good person. And as we are good because God has made us good, we have been grafted into a good tree, and a good tree produces fruit. The Bible says to us, let our light so shine before men. And we're not walking around boasting and bragging. It's something about God in us that causes us to stand out. Something about God's Spirit in us causes the world to know that we are different from them. It's something about God that we can't hide. And a true child of God, we don't want to hide. Can I get an amen? We're not ashamed of the Lord. Amen. We don't mind the world knowing that we're Christians. So we're led by the Spirit, and we hear the voice of Jesus, and we follow him because he is the shepherd, and sheep follow the shepherd. He leads us into the pastures, green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters because he loves us. He is our child. He is our leader. And we are the children of God. Thank God. All right, let's look at the 15th verse. Romans 8, 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Jesus delivers us from the bondage that the devil has over us. Fear has torment. We are no longer enslaved to Satan. We have been delivered. We have been set free. And you, but then he said, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Look at this, double coverage. We are born of God and we are adopted. We are adopted in God's family. What does that mean about adoption? That means that as a child of God, sons and daughters, we have every right to the heritage that God gives us. That means that we can call ourselves children of God, Christians. People go downtown, they adopt a child. Child might have been born Williams. Smith family adopt them. Legally now, they're in the Smith family. And every right that the other naturally born children have, the adopted children have. Look what God has done for us, saints. He has provided us a heritage. He provided us a family. We're in God's family. And God has made provisions for us. God takes care of us. And heaven is our home. Hey, man, thank God. Jesus died so that heaven could be our home. We have been blessed of the Lord. And I thank God that we are so blessed. And then look what, as we continue to look at that, it says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You can't call him Abba, Father, unless you've been born again. That's a special, it means Father, but it's a special a name that we can say because we're in the family of God, Abba, Father. Oh, I thank God that he is our Father. God is our Father, saints, and we are blessed above measure. We're born of God, adopted in his family, and now where we couldn't call him Father, we can now call him Father, and he recognizes us. Can I get an amen? He owns us. Amen. He lets the world know that those are my children. And we can call him Abba Father. Amen. When you got a good father, you know, you call him Father. Amen. Amen. And you honor him as such. Amen. And thank God we have a real Father in God. And we can go to him in the times of trouble. We can go to him when the enemy is on our track. We can go to him when we live in the best life we know how, and yet they're coming against us. We can go to him and cast our cares on him. Amen. The Father that we have, you know, our natural Father, they don't want our problems. Amen. But God will receive our problems. And not only will he receive them, God has the power to work it out. God can fix it for us. God can change it. God will turn things around. And then we got a Father who watched over us. He protects us while we're sleeping. Don't realize we're in the world. The Bible lets us know our Abba Father, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always awake. He's always looking out for his children. And then we got a Father through God that when we need to pray, we can call on him. And we can put, when you live right, you can petition God. You can ask God what you will. And when you live right, we have the assurance that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he's going to give us what we're asking of him. And one thing about a child of God, when we go to God in prayer, we're not asking him for ridiculous things. Most of the time, we're asking him to bless us. Most of the time, we're asking him to protect us and to keep us. We're asking him to be with us. We ask him, the Lord, strengthen me, help me, because I don't want to fail you. And because the other parts of the world, they're calling on God for material goods. We don't have to do that. God has given us his word. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful Father. And he knows what we need, and he will supply it, and he'll be right on time. Oh, when the world want to say no, God makes him say yes. Oh, that's the kind of Father we have. He can control the hearts and the mind of man. And we ought to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We ought to praise him every day and thank God. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. When you wake up in the morning, that's a day of thanksgiving. If you go from one place to the next, that's a day of thanksgiving. If your body is, it might have some aches and pain, but you know, it's so wonderful that at certain times we can just call on the Lord and say, Lord, help me, Lord. I don't know what this pain is, but Lord, remove it. And when we keep our minds on him, you know something? Something happens. Something happens. God touches our bodies. God strengthens us. Amen. And there are times we come up with things we got to go through. But when we go through it, we're not alone. God is there to sustain us. Can I get an amen? Oh, we thank God that he's our Abba Father. All right, let's look at Romans 8:16. Let's look at the 16th verse. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit is our witness. The Spirit witness that we are God's children. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. With spirit. Because there are spirits in the world, evil spirits, but I'm not talking about that one. You want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. See what God has to say. Ephesians 1. Let's look at verse 13. Well, let's look at 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We trusted in God, in Jesus. If you're born again, you trusted in him. If you were born again, you had faith that he was the Savior of the world. Then it said, in whom, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. And Romans said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. For therein is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For we live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith. Amen. It's not what we see, it's what God says. Then it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Remember, I told you you had to believe in Jesus and the redemptive work. We had to believe it. Then look what it says. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that is what is our witness. The Holy Ghost is our witness, the Spirit of promise. When God saves us, he gives us a new spirit. He gives us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in us. And then the Word of God lets us know that it will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us always, even to the end of the world. He's always with us. Can I get an amen? Who do you know other than a God that can give us that assurance? Our earthly parents. They live here for a period of time, but then they have to leave. Amen. But God is our everlasting Father. He's the God that is always with us. He said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He will be with us always, even to the end of the world. And then when the end of the world comes, those of us who are saved, we're going home to be with the Lord. Amen. We're going to meet him in the midair if we're alive when he comes back. And the Bible said we will go away and we will forever be with the Lord. That is if God is your Father. And you need to make sure that God is your Father. You need to make sure that you've been born again. And I thank God. So it's the Holy Ghost. Say we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know? Nobody can break the seal of God. No human being can break the seal. No devil, wherever he is, can break the seal. Amen. We're sealed. And it says, verse 14, which is the earnest down payment of our inheritance and the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, Jesus is coming back. When we leave here, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we don't have our glorified body yet. We're going to get a glorified body, saints. We're going to get a body that won't know diseases, won't need eyeglasses, won't need walking canes, won't need hip replacements, won't need knee replacements, and there surely won't be any migraine headaches. Amen. We're going to get a body that has to exist throughout eternity. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Oh, the doctors will be out of business, and the nurses will be out of business, and won't need the ambulance to come to check on you anymore. Oh, we're going to be in the presence of God who created us from the beginning. And if anything is wrong, he surely can fix it. Thank God. He won't have to be like the doctors, take an educated guess. Our Lord and God, but we're going to get a glorified body. And that glorified body, where there be no sickness, no death, no dying. A place where it's going to be eternal happiness and joy. But God has to be your Father. If you go in there, and the Holy Ghost is our witness. When God saves you, he gives you the Holy Ghost. And if you're saying you're saved and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to pray and say, God, please save me. Give me the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said if you asked for it, he'd give it to you. Amen. Do I have a witness in here? If you ask for the Holy Ghost, God will give it to you. It's not God's will to destroy man. That's why he sent Jesus here to save us from our sins. Oh, I thank God that there is a Savior in the land. All right, Romans chapter 8, again, as we look at verse 17. And it says, and if children, if we are children of God, if God is your Father, then heirs, heirs of God. That means we're in his family, that we have all the rights that's afforded to children of God. And we're joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Jesus is that Son of God. We are the adopted ones. Thank God. And we are joint heirs with him. What Jesus will have, we're going to have. The privilege he has, we have it. Can I get an amen? Joint heirs with Christ. But look what it said. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And a lot of times we are people of God, we need to remember this is a suffering way. And the only time we're going to have eternal bliss is when you get to heaven. Jesus warned us. He says that as he suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. In other words, trouble is going to come your way. But thank God we have one who's with us during the time of trouble. We thank God that he is with us and he will help us. And then he went on to tell us, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivereth us out of them all. What a wonderful word of God. Affliction is going to come, but deliverance is coming behind it. Because the God that we serve, our Father, he has all power in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. Oh, I thank God that God is our Father. And as we close, I want us to go to 1 John. Before we go there, I want to read a passage in Galatians about the heirs. Galatians 4. I want to look at verses 6. I'm reading in verse 6. And it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There it again, because we are sons, we can say Abba, Father. We can say that because he is our Father. It says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Thank God we are no longer slaves under sin. We have been purchased with a price. Jesus died on Calvary to give us eternal life. I thank God that we are no longer on the outside looking in. We are God's family. God owns us and God recognizes us as his children. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 9, and this is important, very important. Christians, true-born Christians, look what verse 9 says. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Children of God, born of God, we don't have a lifestyle of sin. Amen. We don't sin like we used to when before we became a child of God. Amen. We don't let the devil tell us, go on and do that, because you can ask God to forgive you. He said you can't confess your sins, he forgive. We don't have a desire to do anything that God says we shouldn't do, because the Spirit is in us. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you live in a life of sin, you're not born of God. Amen. You're not a child of God if you're committing sin. You can say you love the Lord, and you can say you're on the way to heaven, and you can do all your duties around the church, but you got to live this life. You got to be born again. And when God causes us to be born, he gives us a new nature. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a new heart. And our desire is to please God in all we do. And that verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And that's what separates the world, the false professors versus the true believers. They talk it, but they can't live it. Amen. And if they're not living it, they identify themselves. Because you can't be a child of God and be disobedient. Because disobedience is a sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. So that's how we can tell the true children of God versus those who are just talking. True children of God live according to God's word. And that's how your co-workers can tell that there's a difference. Because they watch you. They see how you work when the boss is not there. They see how you talk to people. They see how you treat people. They see that you're not playing the lottery. They see that you're not puffing on your cigarettes and all these other vices. And then somebody else who's talking about they love God, and they're just the complete opposite. There is a difference between holy and unholy. It's just as much as there's a difference between light and darkness. And I thank God. And then God says that if you don't love your brother, you're not his child. God is a God of love. And when he saves us, he puts love in our hearts. And he even tells us, instructs us in his word, that we are to love our enemies. So true children, born again believers who believe in Jesus, God, our Father. And I thank God that I'm in the family of God. Will everyone please stand?